Hello, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Ken Fallon, and we're coming to you live to tape from Odd Camp 11, and I'm here with John Urin. And he's going to talk to us about
The UK civil service and open source software, how it uses it and how it's hopefully going to do some more contributing.
Okay, excellent. We were talking last night, and it seemed very interesting to me that the UK civil service doesn't jump to mind as one of the top open source contributors. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, it's not one of the main open source contributors, mainly because we have issues around Crown copyright. So any work we do, we really can't. We have Crown copyright releasing issues. And in my particular organization, very simply, the software isn't really used by the general public.
Okay. What sort of software do you use?
What sort of software do I use? Well, apart from Linux and Windows at work, a lot of creator software that's created internally within the organization.
Yeah, particularly in relation to open source. Do you, you mentioned Etherpad last night?
Yes, I administer my work's Etherpad server, which has been an interesting project to sort of get around all the various hurdles and specifically the enormous bureaucracy, which does exist.
And a government organization that has bureaucracy on shop.
Yeah. Yes, it can be quite bureaucratic. Even just getting a box to put it on is quite bureaucratic.
Okay, and what do you see as the main benefits for open source in the civil service?
One of them was cost, because we don't have enormous amounts of money within the civil service or UK government. We're going through spending reviews left, right and centre. Another one is the fact that you can just take it apart and hack it for your own needs, rather than taking something off the shelf which you then work out is not that good. So I've done that with Etherpad in work. Basically reconfigured it so it's better for work and can be used by the people in work as a better tool for collaborating.
And Etherpad was one of the projects that Google purchased and then released back to the community.
Yeah.
Do you find a lot of people are using that, and how are your changes accepted by the wider community?
My changes are sort of easily accepted. I've only sort of put one change back upstream so far. Mainly because we had issues releasing back stuff. So I'm still having to work out more of a formal method of taking stuff that I do at work and having them released back into the community. That's one of the reasons I'm actually at OCCAM, to work out the community's reaction to the UK civil service basically contributing stuff back.
Okay, fantastic. And is there a lot of people involved in open source in your organization?
There are quite a few people. They tend to do it in their, not at work time, but at home time. So they'll do it as individuals at home. So I know one guy is a Debian developer. And there's quite a few sort of Linux sysadmins and general geeks. I work around a lot of mathematicians, so there's a huge amount of geeks there. But they all do it as individuals at home, rather than through work. And we're at the point where we're going, right, we need to do this as work, rather than as at home.
And did you, what have you done to encourage that?
We've created an open source software week to discuss the various issues around it, to get more open source adoption, basically top to bottom, to try and sort of calm down fears from seniors that we can't get support for it, or it'll contain holes, the general fears that people have using open source, and also to try and start discussing, at least within work, things like releasing stuff back, which licenses to use, because there's a multitude of licenses that we could use, sorting out, as I said before, the Crown copyright issue, and things like that.
Okay, fantastic. Do you have anything else to add?
To be honest, no.
Thank you very much for coming, and hope you enjoyed the show.
All right, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Hacker Public Radio. For more information on the show and how to contribute your own shows, visit hackerpublicradio.org.